I see on this pulpit says, please him. And I'm sure many a joke has been said about as we look out across the faces. But you know, joking aside, that's what it's about, isn't it?
Right.
It's just pleasing him.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, we wander about what missions is when missions conference comes round. We wonder about revival and where it comes from, and how do we stay in that close place, that mountaintop, when God takes us there. And we know valleys come, and how do we deal with those valleys when we're there? And you know, these two words right here is the answer to it all.
Right.
You know why? Because it's impossible to please him
right.
without faith. It's impossible. But the good news is he gave us the faith.
Right.
He said he'd give us the measure of it. And so if we would just be sincere, if we would just be diligent about seeking him, we have a promise.
Right.
He said, I'll be found of you.
Right.
If we would just be serious, if I would just be more serious about seeking him, he said he'd be found.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God for his goodness to us. Thanks be to God. I've seen some good friends in this life. My wife is top of the list. But she doesn't come close to Jesus.
Right.
And I know she says the same about me, and she's more right than I am. Turn with me. I'd like you to look at a couple of texts tonight, please. And we'll flip back to the first I'll give you. So if you do have something to keep your finger in the Bible or a marker or something, that'd be good. If not, don't worry about it. It's just one verse. If you turn with me first to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Just put the marker or a finger in there. And then if you could put a marker. In fact, just hold your Bible at Proverbs 13 and then put a marker over there in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read one verse from Proverbs chapter 13 and then we'll run over to Luke chapter 24. Love that sound of Bible pages flipping around. Proverbs chapter 13. I'd like to read just verse 12, and then we'll run over to Luke 24, and we'll go to verse 6. If you're able to stand as we read the Word of God, be good. If not, please worry not. The Lord knows. And we'll see what God has for us tonight. I'm going to read these two scriptures. We'll pray, and we'll go from there. God had it written, Proverbs 13 and verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Luke chapter 24 and verse 6, just read three verses. We're here at the grave after our Lord was taken down off the cross, and indeed after he'd risen again. Verse 6 says, he is not here, but is risen.
Amen.
He's still risen.
Right.
Ever will be risen.
Amen.
Never won't be. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Simple thought for you tonight. Do you remember his words? Do you remember his words? Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so very much for the day you've given. And Father, I know how easily those words roll off our tongues. Oh God, with all the sincerity that we can muster with what you've given us, we truly thank you for another day of life. We truly thank you for another opportunity to wake up and serve you. Father, amidst the struggles and trials, no doubt there are some here tonight in the middle of the fire. Father, I pray, please, please help us, Lord, lay those things that may distract, those things that would cause us to not hear from heaven. God, I pray, please give grace where it's needed. You said, Lord, it's sufficient. I pray, Lord, you'd help us seek it out tonight. I pray, Father, one more time would you speak to your church. One more time would you give us ears to hear. One more time would you give us eyes to see what you would say to each one of us. Lord, help me, please, to be sensitive, to leave alone the things you'd not have said. And Father, we ask these things for your sake, for the kingdom. Father, we ask it in the precious name of our Savior, that mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You go ahead and be seated. Remember his words. Do you remember his words? Something he said to you at some point? May have been last week, may have been 20 years ago, but I'm wondering if God tonight might tug on a memory string. Something he may have told one of us at some point. Maybe we've let it go. Maybe we forgot. Maybe we struggle. If you're anything like me, time goes by, life gets tough, and faith seems to struggle sometimes. Find ourselves in a place where because of the struggles, I'm doubting what I know I heard back then. What he said still stands. But now I'm doubting because of what's come my way. I want to encourage you tonight to remember his words. I want to encourage you tonight that God is still waiting, watching, listening, and welcoming for us to get back to what we said one day somewhere back there. Thank you, Lord, I'll do it.
Amen.
You know, New Year's resolutions are a strange thing. I found that 41%... Now, please don't take this as an accusation from a red-coat Englishman, but I just found these figures. 41% of Americans usually make New Year's resolutions, apparently. 17% of Americans sometimes make resolutions, and 42% never do. 9% felt that they were successful. 48%, this is all from 2018, felt they were partially successful. 43% said, we fail every year. Now, we know this is true because the study was conducted on January the 9th by StatisticBrain.com. You all know everything you read on there is true. They went on. 44% of resolutions made are about self-improvement. 42% are money-related. And in amongst that mix, 23%, I guess some went for both, are relationship related. So a vast majority of our New Year's resolutions are related to improving myself, improving my finances, and improving my relationships. Sounds to me like humanity's still searching for something, doesn't it? It's March. How are you doing? Did you make any? Please don't answer that one. They say that by March, 80% of those that have made resolutions aren't keeping them. And the 20% that is left don't even remember the resolution they made. But God is faithful to remember every promise he ever made to you. Everyone. For he remembered his holy promise, Psalms 105 says. Over there in Chronicles, would Lord God let thy promise unto David my father be established. Here's one for you. For all the promises of God in him, amen, my brother, are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Now watch this, by us. Now, to me, that verse is just astounding. It is mind-blowing. To me, it would make far more sense to be, for all the promises of God in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by him. But you see, God chose that his promises and his glory would be worked out through you. What a privilege you and I have. That God would use such as us to work out his promises. Not only in our lives, not only in the one sitting next to you or behind you, but in all those around you. People that are watching you that you will probably never know about, God is working out his promises, wanting to work out his promises through us. He will never forget what he said. He will never forget what he promised. He will never forget what he has purposed to do. So first up tonight, God remembers what he told you. He keeps every promise, and he's not forgotten what he told you. So secondly, do you remember what God told you? If we go to our text tonight over in Luke, we find that the Son of Man, says in verse 7, he said, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again. And they remembered his words. They returned from the sepulchre, told all these things to the 11 and the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women there with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves in a place where we know God spoke to us, but because life's given you a beating, it almost feels like what he said back there is idle tales. Yeah. It hasn't happened. Doesn't feel like it's going to. I don't see any way that it can. It just feels like an idle tale. And if we're not careful, those idle tales, and we'll allow them to run around our mind, and no wonder God said, bring every thought into captivity in Jesus Christ, because you think on something too long, and it'll start to make its way south. You don't deal with it while it's here, it'll wind up here, and it's a whole lot harder getting it out of here. And this is what happened. The Bible said that some, it was idle tales, and they believed them not. It became what was just a tale, and almost right there and then it became, no. Just flat out disbelief, a refusal to believe, if you like. Refusal to even consider, could it be that God said that? Could it be that the Lord spoke to me in that way? But I love verse 12. Then arose Peter. Now, it could be that Peter was in amongst those idle tale thinkers. I don't know. It could be he was struggling with disbelief, those that believe not. I don't know. But I do know this. He didn't stay there long. Just look at this wonderful verse. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I'd like to suggest tonight that this is a beautiful verse in the Bible. Here we are coming right in the middle of a place where there's idle tales. People are not believing all that's just happened. This great promise that they had from the Lord. They were waiting for him to do away with all those, the Roman rulers and so on, that he was going to be king. It just wasn't in their way. And because it wasn't done their way, because God didn't answer the way they wanted him to answer, they lost all faith. It can't be God, it can't be true, because he didn't do it my way. But you know, there was a man who dared to start believing. See, he stood up. The moment of belief lit a spark in his heart because he ran to the sepulchre. He arrived at the sepulchre and stooped down. There's a picture of humility. He beheld the linen clothes. His eyes were opened. And he departed wandering in himself. He left different than when he turned up. And in that one little verse, we see a transformation that God can do in our hearts if we would just find that place of daring to believe what he said again. See, he stood up, if I can put it this way, we've run through this verse. He stood up for the Lord. He ran toward the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord. He opened his eyes to the Lord and dared to dream and believe upon the Lord. Peter arose. God remembered what he told you. Do you remember what God told you? Now, I'd like to look very quickly at some things that can cause you and I to lose sight or to forget those things that God has told us. Some of those things that threaten the promise, the very promise of God. If we read on, we come across the road to Emmaus, as we know this passage of Scripture. We read on, and verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together all of these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. If I was to hold this up and ask you, what do you see? The largest, the most often, most... That's bad English for an Englishman, isn't it? Probably the most popular answer I would get would be, I see a black dot. And we're so good at that. We always see the problem. There's a whole load of white paper here. 95% more paper than there is black dot, but we see the black dot. That's just our nature. And here we have these folks making their way. The Lord Jesus himself comes stand next to them, but they're so busy talking to themselves, the voice of the Lord himself just sounds like any other voice. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't distinguish his voice from a voice of any man. We read on, and came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near, went with them. Their eyes were holden, they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering him, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They're so busy talking amongst themselves, the voice of Jesus seemed like any other voice. They're so busy at looking what they had done to Jesus, they never saw what Jesus had done for them. And we read on. Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. They just blew our minds away. Which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. You can almost hear their hearts. All this has happened. Don't you understand? Everything's gone wrong. I can't believe you're not even aware of this. And as if that's not enough, there were another couple went down there and they gave us hope again. When we got there, he wasn't to be seen. See, they had all the proven facts so deep in their hearts, there was no room left for faith. They had everything down. They knew exactly how things had been. They knew exactly what had gone. They knew exactly what all of that had brought them to where they were on that day. And they knew all of that so well, there never could be a different outcome. They were so sure of the facts, there was no room left for faith in their hearts. You know, Jesus' words make a little more sense now, don't they? Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, we could stay a little while on the area of foolishness, and we could preach for a while on being slow of heart. But I'd just like to look at that one word when he said, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, they didn't believe the whole story. Oh, they had no problem believing what the prophets had said in the Old Testament about him coming. They had no problem believing all that had led up to that day. They had no problem believing everything since the very beginning, since the Word of God was penned. They had no problem believing all of that, but they left out the essence of the gospel. Because they had their facts down, because they'd allowed the disappointment to steal their faith, the rest of it just wasn't there anymore. And I wonder how often I've allowed myself to find myself a fool, believing not. I know God spoke to me, but because something's come in, something's hit me along the way, I've found myself in a place where I'm foolish before God because I'm not believing what he said. I'm slow of heart. I've lost faith, and I don't even believe it can happen anymore. Boy, if there's a time for the church today to wake up and understand, he is still on the throne. It's not just a phrase we use. Try and encourage each other and stir each other up. It's the truth. He's still God. He's still Lord. He's still in control. And he's still wanting to fulfill that promise that he gave to you. He still wants to fulfill that word he put on your heart back then. Have you let the things that God told you grow dim? What are those things that cause us to forget his words? What was it for you? Was it a disappointment? Was it something somebody said that never got dealt with? Was it pressures of life, trials, troubles? Maybe it was a tragedy. Was it attacks from other people? You may be 100% right, they're 100% wrong, they don't care, but you're still in that place trying to deal with it. Laughed at, doubts sown in your heart along the way. Did you talk yourself out of it? Did you reach a point where you said, you know what, it's too late now. God'll never do that for me. I think I'll just forget it. Can I encourage you, but with a challenge? Who are you telling? Forget it. Because we fool ourselves when we say, I may as well just forget it. Because he hasn't forgotten what he put in your heart. He hasn't left it alone. He's not telling you it can no longer be done. I'm telling me it can no longer be done. Without ever even realizing it, I'm telling God, you may as well just forget it. It's too late, let's just forget it. But wait a minute, let's read on a little more. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? They forgot those last six words. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Here in these short verses, we find a reminder that rekindled a fire in these two hearts. And we read on, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. He gave them a reminder that rekindled the fire in their hearts, and they began to find that being around that fire makes you want more of it. They wanted Jesus to stick around a while. They didn't understand it, but something's going on. And you ever been there? I don't quite understand what's happening. I don't quite get this, but I like it, and I want more of it. I just want to hang around the Lord a little while longer. Ever been in church when you don't want it to end? Oh, God, just give me a little touch more. He began to kindle that fire. As they stuck around him, they began to want more and more. And as we read on, it gets better. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. The reminder that rekindled the fire, being around the fire makes you want more fire. But focusing on the fire will open your eyes to the fire. You know, it made a difference. As we read on, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? The scriptures will get your heart burning. And not the wrong kind of heartburn either. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and that were staying with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And hath appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking bread. Yes. Jesus made a difference. Yes. You see, their reaction wasn't, let me give you this. Verse 35, we know that he was known of them in breaking of bread. If we run on, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. At some point, the Lord left that house, but they weren't left there saying, he's gone again, now what do we do? Yes. See, they'd got close enough to him. They dared to believe a little. And when you dare to believe a little, God is going to do this. You will dare to believe him again, just that little bit, and God will see it. God will move your way. God will move closer. He'll start to kindle that fire that's burning in you again. And as you hang around him, you'll want more. And as you get more, your eyes will be opened. And when that day comes, when you hit Monday morning or Thursday morning tomorrow, you got to get back and face that employer again. You got to get back and face that employee who gives you no respect. You got to get back to that school where they won't listen. You got to get back to that college where you're not treated right. You got to get back to that place where nobody's paying you any kind of respect whatsoever, but he's still with you. Because you've been close enough. You're just so much more aware of his presence. You know, sometimes it's our own reaction when we leave church. We leave the Lord right here in the sanctuary. You know, he'd become real to them again. In that place tonight, we just need him to be real for you again. In a dry place where you just need him to be real again. If you are, tell him. He knows anyway. Get on your knees and beg him, God, I don't know what's happened. I'm sorry for what I don't know has happened. But Lord, I need you again. God, I need a fresh touch from you. Please, make yourself real. Show yourself to be Lord of my life again. What was the difference? What caused that difference in these men? Look with me at verse 30. It came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Now look at verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them when? In the breaking of bread. Now I don't know. I have no idea. But just as Thomas said, unless I put my finger in his nail-printed hands, unless I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Not I cannot. I want proof. I want to know God's real. I want him to show me he's real. And you know his amazing grace, despite Thomas's attitude, he did it anyway.
Yes.
I just wonder with these two, could it be that all of the things they read and all the things they remembered of the prophets, all the things were coming back to them, their hearts were beginning to stir, they know something's different, but they can't quite put their finger on it. They know something's moving, but they're just not quite sure what it is. They still don't recognize it as God. They still don't recognize him as the Lord. But as he began to break bread, and as he pulled those sleeves up, and they saw those nail prints, they said, it's him! It's him! It's him! Could it be that they saw the physical scars and that was the confirmation for them? I don't know. But I do know there was a great spiritual change happened in that place. We may not see the scars, but we know by faith he's alive. Thomas. Oh, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen. But blessed are they who have not seen, yet believe. Did you get that? I said, blessed are they who've not yet seen. Because we will. We'll see him, my brother. We'll see him. Blessed are they who have not yet seen. Yet believe. Oh, hallelujah. You know, he's giving us a reminder tonight to rebuild that fire again. For in that place, get around that fire a while. It will leave you wanting more. How do you get around the fire? I don't mean to be worldly, if I can put it that way. I don't mean to be fleshy. But if you have to force yourself, get yourself in this book again.
Right.
If it's all you can do to pick this book up for 5 minutes tomorrow, do it.
Right.
And if it's all you can do to force yourself to pray for someone other than yourself tomorrow, do it. And if it's all you can do, and folks, I'm not accusing and I'm not pointing fingers, I've been there. If it's all you can do to make yourself read this blessed book, even though in your heart you're thinking, I'm not going to see anything, it seems like a dry book to me, force yourself, do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and he'll meet with you. He promised he would. Promised he would. Focus on him. He'll open your eyes to his words. Remember his words, church. God remembered what he told you. Do you remember what God told you? Are you aware of those things that can steal that from us? How great the call of God is that we might serve him. Wherever it is you are, wherever it is God's deposited you in this life, you have the honor of serving him.
Amen.
How wonderful it is to do something for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, before he comes back. For hallelujah, before he comes back for us.
Yeah.
Let me close with this. Psalms 20. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Luke 24 verse 8, and they remembered his words. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire is cometh, it's a tree of life. Church, I'll give you this and I'm done. Scribble down in my Bible. Not when the answer comes, not even when the promise it comes. The Bible says when we've lost hope, our heart gets sick. But when I get my desire back, I don't even need the answer. I don't even need the promise. I just need to desire Him again. I just need to desire what He wants in my life. I just need to desire what He wants to do through me. I just need to desire Him again. I just need to want Him again. I just need to desire Him again. And it shall become a tree of life. Tree has to grow, the fruit will come, but you must desire first. Church, remember His words. In Jesus' precious name.